The Joe Who Show here on the BBS Radio Network. Joe Who is a voice of natural direct sensitive. What's that? Well, when I hear a person's voice, I start to see things behind my eyes. Past, present, future. Been doing it my entire life, ever since I can remember, actually. Because when I hear a person's voice, there's things that I see behind my eyes. It's about the best way I can explain it. It's not in front of me, it's not behind me, but it's almost like reading a teleprompter, if anyone's ever been in a TV studio, but that's a lot like how it is. We're taking your calls tonight for the USA. It's 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And for our friends in Canada, it is 1-888-810-8322. Once again, in Canada, it is 1-888-810-8322. We also have a direct line, which is area code, I guess that's for anybody, and the area code for that is area code 530-876-3222. Again, that's 530-876-3222. Okay, I would like to take this opportunity to thank BBS Radio for allowing me this chance to speak with you. And as like I said, I'm a voice natural, and it's something that, you know, everybody has abilities. You know, some people read tarot cards, some people look at crystals, some people have psychometry. Everybody has a form of intuition. Whether you believe it or not, you do. You call it gut feeling. Sometimes they call it women's intuition. You know, they say, oh, dogs have a sixth sense. Well, so do people, you know, basically. And I think a lot of times, for a lot of people, it's gone to sleep. Why? Because I've explained this many, many times. Because I think we're force-fed all this information. You know, we don't even know what to believe half the time. The one thing you can rely on is always your intuitive side. And let me try to explain this to you. Your intuitive side is something that will come up really quick. You know, if you think about it, if you ponder it, you think you might feel something. No, precognition is very spontaneous, very quick. You know, it's like, boom, all of a sudden it's there, you get the feeling. And that's how it is. You can think about it and talk about it after you get it. But once you get it, you know, that's the first step. And if you ever notice it, if you're in a heightened state of emotion, whether it's going to be anger or anxiety or happiness or sadness, your ability to perceive rises accordingly because it works on the same side of the brain. I believe it has something to do with emotional response. I mean, I really do. So, you know, a lot of people, when you have a fear of dread, you know, all of a sudden you get this weird premonition. The dread comes first and then the premonition. Sometimes it's premonition then the dread. But like I said, any heightened state of emotion also increases your ability to perceive. And it's a very fascinating process. And just like some people are good doctors and lawyers, you know, some people have different degrees of what they're good at. Well, I'm just pretty good at this. I mean, I'm not into psychometry. I can't hold an object and say, oh, this belongs to so-and-so. And there's some people who can do that. People that read tarot cards, you know, the cards are the tool. The intuition comes from focusing on the cards. The cards themselves don't mean anything. It's a person's intuition that's actually working with those cards. Same thing with people that look into crystals. It's just a focal point for them. They're focusing their energies and abilities. And that's a very fascinating thing. In fact, you can try this experiment yourself. Let's say, the best time to do this is in the evening hours. Let's say you're in your room and keep one little light on or something. You know, not a real bright one, but a little one. And just concentrate on the light. And if you concentrate on that light, eventually, all of a sudden, things around us start to dim, and get dark, and all of a sudden the light will disappear. Believe it or not. Of course, if you blink your eyes or move your eyes, it's going to come back. But if you try to focus on that, and at that point of the disappearance or the total darkness, your perception is very high. Interesting little practice thing you can do. So, again, our numbers tonight are area code 877-876-5227 for the USA and 888-810-8322 for our friends in Canada. And again, our direct line is 530-876-3222. Now, when you call in this evening, all I need to do is hear you speak. So I just would like your first name and just the month of your birth. I'm not in astrology, but years ago when I started doing national radio, you know, you can't ask anybody their address or your phone number or anything like that. So the first name and just the month of your birth, and I may ask you where you're calling from. Hi, caller. First name, please.
Jenny.
And Jenny, just the month of your birth.
September.
And where are you calling from?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay. Now, Jenny, you're an interesting personality. Your emotions are very, very high for some reason. And of course, you're an emotional person, but your brain power rules. So whenever your emotions come up as high as they are, that means there's a lot of loose ends going on. There's a lot of, boy, oh, boy, there's a lot of things swirling around you. It's like you're trying to reach for something and can't quite grab it. You can see them going around, and you try to grab it, and you can't. So that's usually frustration. And what I'm seeing is that type of situation that you're in means that it's causing some anxiety and some a little bit of anger too. Okay? And that could be a situation. It could also be personal. It's one of the two.
Could I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
I was wondering if you had any intuitive thoughts on where I should be living.
Okay, now, I wish you... Can you speak louder? Because I have a really hard time hearing you.
I'm wondering if you did any thoughts on where I should be living.
You mean as far as state-wise?
Right.
Okay. How long you been in Utah?
9 months.
You don't like it, do you?
No.
What made you go there?
I followed my grandkids.
Oh, God. Where'd you come from?
San Diego.
Where?
San Diego.
You don't necessarily want to go back there, do you?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. As far as good places for you would be parts of Arizona, okay, parts of Florida, and if you went to Florida, you'd have to be on the ocean side, not the Gulf side, all right?
Right.
Nevada would not be that good for you. Certain areas in New Mexico would be good for you. Now, if the seasons didn't bother you, certain, you know, northwestern parts of the country would be okay for you. Seattle is a beautiful place, but not for you. Okay?
Okay.
Now, where have you thought about going?
There was a woman from India thought I should go to Missouri.
Missouri? No. I don't see that at all. In fact, you know what? Rather than Missouri, I'd rather see you go to Minneapolis, St. Paul area.
Wow.
Minnesota, Missouri, no. I don't see Missouri as far as what's good for you at all. Now, some people it might be good for, but I don't see that with you.
Hmm.
Okay.
Is there a place that doesn't have snow?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of places that don't have snow. You know, parts of Arizona.
Well, that's affordable.
That's affordable?
Yeah.
Parts of Arizona, parts of New Mexico. You know, I don't see Nevada good for you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Texas isn't you also anyway, either, by the way. But if you want to go anywhere that there's snow, you definitely don't want to go to Minneapolis, St. Paul, although it wouldn't be a bad place for you. But, you know, Minnesota, no. Is that what she told you, Minnesota or Missouri?
No, Missouri.
Okay. Nah, the Missouri is not for you either.
No?
Okay. No, it's really not. You'd actually feel pretty alienated there, you know. Southern New Mexico would be okay. But if you say affordable, that's the hitch here, you know.
Right.
Parts of Arizona are affordable. Parts of New Mexico are affordable. California, the West Coast, I don't know if anything's affordable out there.
No. Nope.
You know. But there's also some of the, not necessarily the southern states, but like if you go like to the southern tip of Illinois, you know, there's affordable places down there, and they rarely get snow.
Yeah.
You know, Illinois is strong, but not necessarily good for you. It's not necessarily a good place for you.
Yeah.
Mississippi would not be good. Only the ocean side of Florida, which is not in, you know, which is, if you're on a limited income, you got to be careful there.
Mm-hmm.
But the places I mentioned were about the strongest for you, as far as being affordable and as far as being able to communicate with people on a personal level.
What about a place like Albuquerque?
Well, Albuquerque's okay, but not outside of Albuquerque, not necessarily in the city itself.
So it would be somewhere else?
You know, yeah, Albuquerque, let's say, you know, like maybe 25 miles outside of Albuquerque.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to get near a farmer's market.
Well, you know, breadbasket has a lot of farmer's markets, but we also have snow.
Which one?
The Heartland states.
Where's that?
Well, the Heartland states are Illinois, you know, Iowa, Nebraska. You know, they have a lot of farmer's markets out there, but like I said, they get snow.
Yeah. Well, you know. I guess I might have to endure some of that, you know, if that's where I'm supposed to go.
Well, if you, you know... See, it depends on where you go. There's some places that they have winters, but they're not all that severe. You know, like southern Illinois rarely gets snow. Central Illinois can get snow, but it doesn't never really last. Denver, believe it or not, can get snow, but it doesn't last. You know, Denver is not as cold as Chicago. Chicago is very cold in the wintertime and very windy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that would not be a good place for you.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, outside Albuquerque would be okay. And like I said, parts of Arizona.
Parts of Arizona.
You know, Kingman is a high country. They get some snow, but I think you'd really enjoy Kingman. Flagstaff gets a little bit too much snow.
Kingman, huh? All righty, well,
okay, but you went to Utah to be with your grandkids?
Yeah, I followed them up here.
Oh, boy, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
You should have came up and visited before you made the move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, do you see any men coming into my life?
Well, first of all, men coming to your eye isn't necessarily the issue. Find your place first, then they will follow. Right now, there's too many things in front of your eyes, so you can't see affairs of the heart.
Right.
You have to get that other stuff taken care of first, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. If I had to go somewhere myself, I would go check it out. You know, maybe stay a week or two or a month even before I move lock, stock, and barrel. Some people do enough. For some people, that area is great. For other people, it's not. You know, every person has a place that's going to be good or positive for them or negative for them. And it's not necessarily the place they grew up in either, by the way. How's that for interesting stuff? And the reason for that is, you know, children pick their parents. Parents never pick their children. So if your parents happen to be in, you know, San Diego or in Chicago or New York or wherever, and you pick those parents, you have to come into that geographical area. And you may later on going, wow, I never quite feel home there. And it doesn't quite feel like home. All of a sudden you'll travel somewhere, and all of a sudden something will hit you, like you're either familiar, like you've been there before, or you've felt that before, and say, wow, this is remarkable. This is amazing. This place feels like home. Well, that's probably because you spent some time there at some time or another. And you can feel that. You know, I mean, I've traveled up and down this country, even up into Alaska, up into Canada, you know, almost every state, and there's only two places that felt like home. One was the mountains of Colorado, and the other one, believe it or not, is Chicago, and that's where I'm from. So I was kind of lucky, I think. Although I don't live in the city now. I kind of moved outside the city. Hi, caller. You're on with Joe.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Can I have your first name?
Lorelei.
Lorelei? The month only of your birth?
June.
And where are you calling from?
Canada.
I have a real hard time hearing, so please try to speak up.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Lorelei, you're a very independent person, too, by the way. You know, and that's something you've always been. And I kind of think it wasn't a choice. I think it was more of something that was kind of thrust upon you at a very early age. So
yeah.
I think you grew up, what I'm picking up is that you grew up faster than other kids, you know, and it has to do with responsibilities. You can be you're a very strong self-motivator. And
yeah.
Your personality, if somebody tells you, one of your pet peeves is, you know, don't tell me you're going to do something and not do it. Or start something and not finish it. So analytically, you're very strong-willed. The only thing you have to be careful of, you can be fooled by emotional issues. That make sense to you?
Sometimes, yep.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have a question?
Just looking at some financial concerns in the near future and wondering if they're going to have a positive outcome.
I repeat that again and a little bit louder because I'm really having a hard time. I don't know if it's a connection. I don't think it's you. It's the other caller was hard to hear also.
Okay. I am hoping for a good financial outcome in the next little while and wondering if that's going to materialize.
Yes, it'll materialize. Now, you can bring it to you even fast, you know. You can bring it to you with no problems. Remember, the universe only knows one thing, and that's, you know, yes. So if you're worried about something not happening, okay, it won't happen. If you worry, you know, so you have to visualize it. And you know what, you don't visualize the financial, finances coming to you. Visualize the things that you want to purchase or the things you want to do. Visualize those in your mind's eye as carefully as you can. Not visualizing the money, but visualizing the things you're going to do. You understand? As completely as you can. You're actually setting up the energy to bring it to you. And I do see you doing it,
okay.
By the way. I do see it happening.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Thank
it's about
you.
Time, too, because you've struggled for a while.
Yeah.
But you're strong. You've always
Absolutely.
Been able to survive, you know? I mean, you're a very strong person. If you don't think you are, then you're lying to me. You're lying to yourself.
No, I know that part.
Okay? And you have to understand, too, because of that, you have to be careful about affairs of the heart, too.
Yes.
Because people that come on to you might be strong or appear strong, but actually they realize that you're the strong one. All of a sudden, you kind of take, you know, it's kind of thrust upon you. So be careful.
Okay.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yep.
Okay, Lorelei?
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, and it's that simple. I'll see people in one of two different ways, actually three different ways, either a younger soul or an older soul. And how that relates to me, as I look at it intuitively, is what the person's, what their strong points are. Okay, old souls are definitely people that have had more incarnations. Younger souls didn't have quite as many. Younger souls tend to be people that are strong-willed, independent. Younger souls are people that take care of business. They're part of the corporate world. They're the ones that have their own companies, their businesses. They're the ones that get, you know, that if they start something, usually finish it. Younger souls can deal with anything analytical, and they can stand track. They can be emotionally hurting, but they can still maintain. Older souls, on the other hand, are people that are very emotional, very creative. they start something, and, you know, we're some of the best starters and some of the worst finishers, some of the greatest procrastinators, but people are attracted to us and drawn to us because of our compassion, our ability to perceive things about them. Hi, caller. You're on with Joe.
Hello, Joe. This is Brian from Indiana.
And the month of your birth, Brian?
April.
What part of Indiana?
Lafayette.
Oh, you're from... Really? I got a friend in Lafayette. No, I'm serious. My buddy Stan, he does comic books.
That's cool.
He's a writer. He's pretty cool. Well, anyway, you're definitely... Brian, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're definitely an older soul. And I was just saying about older souls. You know, you might remember a name. You might not remember a name, but we're sure as heck never forget a face. And sometimes we're a little bit clumsy. I don't know why. And older souls, Brian, listen carefully. Older souls usually do better at night.
Mm-hmm.
Your creative side comes out at night. Your emotional side comes out at night. You know, and you're no exception to that. You're definitely an older soul. And because of that, you know, you're bound by, you're open to everybody's input, emotional input, positive or negative. So you have to be careful whether you realize it or not. All right? Sometimes, Brian, you're a little bit too internal. Sometimes I think you hold a little bit too much in. Actually, you do. Okay? Do you have a question for me?
Yes, my question is, Joe, lately here I've been seeing, I don't know what it is, I don't know if that's my physical vision, but I've been seeing lots of flashes of solid purples and blues.
Now, do you say it peripherally or directly in front of you?
When I look at objects, around objects, I'm seeing this purple, a lot of purple, streaks of purple, and I also see flashes and solids of blue.
Okay, now when
does
it start?
I don't know if this is spirit vision. I don't know if this is opening up psychically. I'm not sure what this is.
When does it start?
Usually at night when I'm very relaxed.
When did it start?
Maybe a year or two ago.
Okay. And it doesn't always happen, right?
Not all the time.
Okay,
good. But when I'm very relaxed and
if it happens all the time, then I say you need to go see an ophthalmologist. Okay. But it's funny, when you look at things and you see the purplish and blue streaks, mm-hmm. Is it any object?
Well, the one that I see it the most around is like a brass or gold. I don't know. It's like around lampshades.
That's pretty interesting.
I don't know if I'm seeing some kind of energy pattern around them, sometimes around trees a little bit, around light poles, but I'm starting to see the energy around it.
You know what you're seeing. That's interesting. Anything that's metal or ferrous or non-ferrous, mm-hmm. even trees, you know, trees are living.
Yes.
But what you're seeing is, if it's kind of hard to explain. Part of what you're seeing is the energy field of the Earth Mother itself.
Wow.
Going up and around things, okay?
Huh.
In trees, if you focus on trees, you can actually see and feel the life force of a tree.
Wow.
Or any plant, but trees are especially radiant in their life force.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, trees are remarkable things. The gold and the brass, it's not the gold and the brass that's concerning me, it's what this represents to you. You know, why is it all of a sudden appearing... and I'm curious about the state of mind that you're in. I know you have to be relaxed when it happens, you
yes.
know. And the vividness of it, the depths of it, are very important, too. If it's light or if it's faint, it means one thing. If it's dark, it means another.
Mm-hmm. It's a very solid color, like just like when you look at a purple. It's purple.
Right. And if you stand there and gaze at that, okay, does it last as long as you have your gaze there?
Yes.
Okay. When that happens to you, what you need to do, Brian, is trying to do now is because you're opening up something inside yourself also, is try to project or allow to come into you intuition and intuitive things. You know, when you look at them, I think you're just so amazed at seeing them that you're not, you know, you're mesmerized by that.
Sure. It's very new to me. Yeah.
So what you need to do is go a step beyond that, you know, that, wow, look at that, it's purple. You know, oh, look, I'm seeing the blue. try this experiment also. I'm going to ask you a question. Is your refrigerator at home white?
It's an off beige, but yeah, kind of.
Okay,
light,
but it's basically light colored.
Yes.
Okay. I would like you to take an object, and not brass or gold.
Okay.
Maybe even a plant. You have a live plant in the house?
No. Well, I guess a little. Yeah, I guess a little flower.
Doesn't matter. As long as it's
flower.
Mm-hmm. If you have a stool, set it on the stool or a chair, right in front of that refrigerator or a white wall. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's like a white wall. Right.
Yeah, that's fine. Do it.
I've heard about that.
Yes, yeah. and have it lit. You know, have it lit up so it can, you know, so it's not dark so you can actually look at it.
Uh-huh.
Just sit back, relax, and look at the plant.
Okay.
And what you should be able to see is radiant energy. Now, do I say you're seeing auras? Not when it ends. You know, not seeing really the aura on that. You know, more the tree you can see the aura. The brass and the gold, you're seeing energy coming from Earth Mother and the surroundings. But if you do the plant in front of the a white wall, you know, lit from the front, so you can actually see it, like you're going to step for take a photograph, not a bright light, and just allow yourself to relax and just look at it, you should be able to see an aura beginning to form.
Okay.
Okay?
Interesting.
And when you're seeing that, you're also bringing up your ability to perceive. You know, you can't teach anybody to be psychic, but you sure as heck can teach somebody how to bring out the abilities they have.
Yes.
Okay? Another thing you can do is an interesting little exercise. And this is, it's probably going to cost you very little money. You can go to a record store or a good bookstore, and you know how sometimes they have these cassettes of old-time radio shows?
Yes, they're playing in the background, yeah.
Yeah, they have them like, you know, The Whistler and X-1 or what have you, and, you know, Herman's Cave, whatever. I think you can get a series of four of them for like $8 or $10. And you should get those, all right? And, you know, in the evening hours, you know, take your phone off so people don't bother you, put it on, and listen to it and allow yourself to get absorbed by that. What's happening with us is that our ability, you know, our imagination is kind of getting taken in a back seat to all the things that are being thrust upon us.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, you're force-fed. I mean, look in the course of a day, Brian, how many things you're force-fed? News, commercials, weather, cell phones. Yeah, I mean, everybody today has a cell phone. I mean, you can't drive anywhere without seeing people with a cell phone. I mean, are we that self-absorbed that we have to be in communicado 24/7?
It's a lot of frequencies coming in.
That's exactly right. Well, that's a whole other ballgame there. But I'm just saying, you know, television, video games, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So there's, you know, very few of us have time to turn down the volume of the outside world and turn up the volume of the inside world. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, that's a good exercise to do that.
It's like calming the mind, calming, tuning the mind, isn't it?
Yeah, what you're doing is, right, like I said, the easiest way to explain it, Brian, is turning down the volume of the outside world and turning up the volume of the inside world. Okay?
Hmm.
But you have to take the phone off the hook, you know, and if you do this with this plant, and you relax and just allow yourself to perceive, allow everything to come into you. You know, but it might take a couple times just to clear out your head.
Yes.
There you know.
There's one last question real quick, Joe.
Yeah, that's fine. Let me finish. Remember when I said in the first part of the call you're holding too much in?
Yes.
You do. You are. There's a lot of stuff from your past you got to let go.
Okay.
Can I ask how old you are now?
What's that?
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 32.
You know, it's really funny. In some ways you're 32 going on 18. In some ways you're 32 going on 60. Sound familiar?
It seems like it.
That's right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My last question, Joe, was I just noticed here in the past year on some of the photographs that we have, and we digitized them, we put them into the computer, and we're picking up these white balls, these orbs, I guess is what you call them.
Yeah, there's, you know, I'm. Let me try to explain that to you. By the way, were you just at a dentist?
No.
You got to go.
I know I haven't been for a while. I know I need to.
Yeah, but when you get a chance, make an appointment to see a dentist.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, there's something in the back of the mouth. I can't see what it is, but I know it's something there. All right.
Okay.
Orbs, boy, I have seen many, many examples of orbs, okay? I've done hauntings, and people with digital cameras tend to pick up orbs more than other cameras. Some of these orbs are something inherent in a digital processing, I believe, and some are real. And the only you can tell if it's a true orb, and this is what I do whenever I do investigations, we have digital cameras and we have regular cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take pictures, they're simultaneously, you know, they're hooked up to take pictures simultaneously and looking at the same things. So if it shows up on both mediums, then I feel more certain that the orb is, you know, something that it is. And orbs can be spirits, they can be, you know, some people, they can be interdimensional. Nobody actually really knows. All right, do I think it's spirit? Well, the house I did, I know it's haunted, so I figured that's what it was. In fact, I had no problem. And it showed up on, you know, three different type cameras. One was an infrared camera, or ultraviolet. I think it was ultraviolet. One was a regular 35mm, and the other one was digital. Now, if you have it, you know, every time you snap a picture, always snap in the same area.
Okay.
So if you're going to take pictures in one area, if you're doing the research, I would take two pictures at the same area but different angles. In other words, you know, walk 5 feet one way and still take a picture in the same area. You know,
well, we blew some of these pictures up, like bringing them, zooming in and trying to see the detail of them. And what's amazing is what it almost looks like is like this, like hieroglyph.
Right.
With like energy within it. It's some kind of...
That's
very
right.
Amazing.
Right. Yeah. I have a program that can expand it hundreds of times.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really good program. And I've looked at them, and I know exactly what you're talking about. That's why I'm curious about them. And if you look at the same one, like I'll blow one up that was taken for the 35mm and the same one taken by a digital, they're basically the same. and sometimes I'll blow one up that's just digital that the other one didn't pick up, and it looks entirely different. It looks like an artifact or something inherent of the digital process signal, or maybe something else. Okay. So for me, what I do is I'll use two or three different cameras.
That's interesting. Well, thank you very much, Joe.
Okay, but there's an awful lot of orbs, and I think a lot of them aren't real. I think it's something inherent in the camera.
Okay.
That's why if you're going to do it, you know, if you take 5 or 6 pictures, one area in there, it's always in the same place or it's right in that area, well, then I can say, yeah, okay. But if you stand in the same position, no, move 3 feet one way, move 3 feet the other way.
Exactly.
Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Brian. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's fascinating. Orbs are, it's funny as he brought that up because I just got a call from someone who has an awful lot of orbs on film, and I asked them to make copies and send me them because I want to look at them carefully. I want to see this because I've done some very strong haunting investigations, which, by the way, I don't like doing because they're kind of sad. They're kind of stuck, you know. And sometimes it's a full-blown apparition. Sometimes it's an orb. That's why sometimes I believe that the orbs tend to be interdimensional. And there's a lot of things that are relating in our world today that are interdimensional, and they have nothing to do with hauntings. They're interdimensional beings or interdimensional entities, which I find fascinating. You know, we can get the whole discussion of UFOs and some of those craft are interdimensional. Some maybe our government, possibly, you know. But in my years, I've seen some remarkable things. By the way, Brian, I'll tell you what. When you look at those, why don't you email me? By the way, anyone who wants to email me, my email address is joe@johoo.com. So it's joe@joeho, it's all one word, .com. Very easy, joe@johoo.com. Hi, caller, I'm with Joe.
Hello, Joe. This is Fred in Dallas.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Pretty good.
Are you dry down there?
Huh?
Are you dry down there?
No. It's been pretty wet in places.
But you didn't get flooded, did you?
No, we didn't get flooded.
I was kind of worried about you. Fred's a longtime friend and listener of Johoo, and I was really kind of worried about you. I was going to try and call you. I'm glad you called.
Yeah. And I looked up your website here and decided, well, I believe I'll try to give him a call.
Yeah. So I'm glad because I have someone who's outside of Gainesville, and they got it really bad.
Oh, yeah. They were really flooded down there.
Yeah, I know. We're seeing a lot of it on the television here. It's really horrific. It's really sad.
Is Jeff with you?
No, this is my show.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well,
all right.
I didn't have any right problems. I just wanted to call you up and let you know I was listening.
Oh, okay. Everything else is okay, though, Fred?
Everything's fine.
How's your daughter?
Oh, she's good.
Stubborn as ever?
She's just mean. They're both mean.
They're both mean, huh? All right, Fred. Thank you for the call.
All right. I'll see you more.
All right. Take care.
All right, bye.
I've known Fred for quite a while. If anybody's interested, I have my website is johoo.com. It's just www.joeho.com. There's all kinds of information about me there, and so you guys can check that out. But getting back to, let's say, Brian and the things he was seeing, and interdimensional beings and UFOs, there is so many phenomena that are going on a universal level. You know, right now people are saying, well, man's causing global warming. Man has very little to do with the global warming. It's arrogant thinking to believe that. It's happened in the past. You know, we had the climactic maximum, the climactic minimum, which just, you know, it was in Europe around the 1300s, just before they had to went into the mini ice age. You know, they're experiencing like 4 degrees above normal. It's, you know, we're not a static planet. You know, the Earth is going around the sun, the Earth and, you know, our solar system. And our sun is going around our galaxy, and our galaxy is going around the universe. So I think that, you know, as the progression of the planet and the universe, we come in and out of energy fields that science knows there, but they don't know what to call it. You know, they have no idea what it is. That's why scientists call it dark matter and dark energy, because they don't know what it is. They know it's there. They don't know what it is. So I think that has an effect on us. I mean, the ice caps on Mars have melted 10 feet in the past 2 years. No, not from our global warming, not by man. Pluto right now is going away from the sun, and for some unknown reason, it's warmer than it should be. In fact, as far away as it is, as warm as it is, the Earth should be scorching. And scientists are scratching their heads on this one. So there's so many. I mean, this is a vast, vast universe and a vast place. We have spiritual beings. You know, we have extraterrestrial beings. We have, you know, it's not an empty place. It's full of life. You know, sometimes they overstep their bounds. You know, I think sometimes interdimensional beams pop through when they shouldn't be. You know, but I don't know what the universal law is, obviously. But there are universal laws. And we're all bound by those. And right now, the people that are here, we're spiritual beings trying to understand what it's like to be human. And it's not easy. You know, and in fact, I believe that the people, remember when your guys were in high school, they had, well, I don't know about today, but they used to have what was known as the A group or the B group, you know, and when I was in high school, they had A, B, and C group. The A group, A group were the really smart kids, the B group was kind of average kids, and the C group was a little bit below average. Okay, well, anyway, the souls that come to this place are considered mighty spiritual beings. We're like the A group. Oh, we're tough, we can do this. All of a sudden we get here and go, man, this is hard. Well, too late, can't go back. Now you have to fulfill your lesson. Everybody's here to fulfill a lesson. That's one thing. And no one can tell, no intuitive can tell you what your lesson is. They may be able to tell you parts of it, okay? But as far as the lesson goes, that's basically a private matter between you and the center. And you're given all the free will to set it up. That's the greatest gift you have is free will. So, you know, you pick your parents, you pick the situation. It's kind of like playing Monopoly. You set up the game board to try to fulfill your lesson. And, of course, because free will reigns, things don't always happen as planned. So after you pass this life and you go back in, you know, into spirit world, go, God, I never figured that would happen. Yeah, and look what happened there. Boy, I never expected, I never thought about that. So based on that, you either decide if you have to come back or move on. And once you fulfill your lessons, you can move on. But free will reigns. So, you know, if you don't want to move on, you say, okay, well, you can wait. And while you're waiting, trust me, you're not going to sit around. You can come back and help other people with karma. And yes, you can do that. But a lot of people say you can't. You absolutely can. You can actually help people take on some of the burden of people. And you see it every day in birth. Think about that. You know, sometimes people come here as physically challenged or emotionally challenged. Why do you think that is? You think maybe they're taking on a bunch of karma, or they're trying to make up a whole bunch of bad karma they had, or are they karma for the parent that they were, you know, that they picked? It's a remarkable, remarkable process. It's a remarkable journey we go on, and it's funny because it's a long one. And in the spirit plane, that's another thing, too. Time is totally different than the spiritual plane. I mean, it might be, 10 minutes there, might be 20 years here. So, I mean, time is a very interesting process. So as far as being spiritual beings, and it's just an amazing journey we go on. You know, and everybody gets glimpses. You know, you get these feelings. Everybody gets these hunches, feelings. And you sit there, and sometimes you ponder this thing. You think, oh, that's crazy thinking. No, nothing is crazy. Nothing is. Remember when they say truth is stranger than fiction? Trust me, that's true. Hi, caller. You're on with Joe.
How you doing, Joe? This is Joe. I spoke to you a little while back. I just wanted to confirm a couple things.
Sure, Joe. The month of your birth?
August.
And you're calling from where?
New Jersey.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to confirm, as far as occupation, I think you, I don't know if I mentioned to you or you mentioned to me, am I going to be going through a change in occupation as far as work or something?
Mm-hmm.
And also I wanted to ask you as far as...
No, wait, but let me ask you something. You said you were going to confirm something. What were you going to confirm?
I don't remember if you did have mentioned if I was going to change occupation, because I am in between type of situation right now.
Okay.
I don't know if you...
What's your basic occupation, you know, now?
I've done both. I was in telecommunication technician, and I also work in construction also.
All right. Well, let me ask you something. I know what you enjoyed most. What did you, I don't know, regardless of funding or money, what did you enjoy most?
I enjoy, like, trying to figure out things. Like, I'm not in so much of, because I kind of get bored of doing the same old thing every day, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of. I like to try to explore and try to figure out things.
Okay. All right, well, construction, you know, if you worked in construction, were you a laborer or a tradesman?
More of a tradesman, yeah.
Okay, and what trades were you involved in, the carpentry?
I was doing carpentry and the telecommunications technician.
Okay, what's the month of your birth again?
August.
Okay, well, first of all, you know, you're a younger soul, and you're a Yancey younger soul. You know, you said it for yourself. You said you like new problems, you don't like being in the same situation at one time, or every day.
Yeah, okay? Repetitive.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it's kind of repetitive. It's, I don't know, I like to, like, I don't like doing the same old thing every time.
Well, that's what you said.
Yeah.
But you basically said it, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, a career that would allow you travel or allow you diverse, it would be the same career but different situations, that's what you need to look at. In construction, you know, a carpenter is a carpenter. I mean, you do one cabinet, you do one wall, they're always the same.
Right.
What makes it unique is the type of house or whatever you're working on, you know. And another thing, too, is part of you likes to travel and part of you doesn't.
Right.
See? So you're kind of stuck.
Yep.
Telecommunications is a very, very, it's a very wide field. You know, you could be an operator and be telecommunications. You can be, you know, computer sales. And, you know, I mean, what did you actually do in telecommunications?
I was an installer, technician installer.
Okay, and what did you install?
Worked in pretty much in buildings, in Verizon buildings.
Okay, so you put phones in phone systems, the switching gear and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you didn't like that?
No, I did like it.
No.
They laid thousands of people off.
Yeah, I know. You know, I got my own issues with Verizon. I live in a Verizon area, yet my Verizon cell phone will not work in my Verizon area. So figure that one out.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of them have laid them off. I think AT&T was just sold to Singular or somebody. You know, they allowed, years ago they broke up AT&T and Ameritech, and now they let them recombine. You know, I'm just saying, what? So, and there's so many phone systems now in so many different places. You know, the one thing, that's why I said telecommunications would be good because you're in different situations, different scenarios. Same career, but always doing different things in different places. You know, if that's what you did and that's what you enjoyed, you know, there's other communication companies that you could try and apply to. I know, like, Lucent Technologies laid off a bunch of people, but then they started hiring people back again. What's the one Nextel is hiring people back again?
Yeah, but isn't that in sales?
No, I don't know if you have Nextel. They're installers and technicians.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if you have Nextel there. You must have. That's pretty much national.
Yeah. We have like all different companies here.
Yeah. Same thing in Chicago. You know.
Yeah.
You can do the carpentry, but I don't think you know it's not your own accomplishment. Do you understand?
No, not really.
Yeah. So that's what I would look into. And besides the fact that you're a little bit of a younger soul with a middle soul properties, it's gotta be something that your brain power rules over but it'll still allow you a little bit of creativity.
As far as I'm moving, so I guess it's kind of in a bind, I guess, right?
Uh-huh.
You don't see it.
Are you moving?
If I should, I'm thinking about it.
You know what? You can't at this time.
Excuse me?
You cannot do that at this time.
Yeah, no. I know I can't right now.
Okay.
I've been told maybe a couple years, a year, 2 years.
You know what? I'll tell you what. No. First of all, you've got to try to find a career that you're going to be happy with.
Yeah,
you know, I always tell people, do what you love and money follows. Okay? And I don't mean, you know, be a gambler. I don't mean that. Or pipe dream. But, you know, think about the things you really enjoy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been on job interviews, haven't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever interviewed yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You never really sat down and thought about the things you like and the things you don't like. And I mean as completely as you can.
Well, yeah, I kind of do know, but certain things I just don't have the certain qualifications for, so, you know.
Well, first of all, how does someone get qualified, okay?
Well...
Yeah, they go to a company, they're trained by the company, or they go to school, but see, that's another thing, too. I know people have degrees up the fanny, and they haven't got any common sense,
yeah.
You know? And there are companies that, I just want to hire him because he's got a degree, and they get him in there, and they don't last because they say, well, you know, he's got a degree, doesn't mean he can do the job.
Right.
It's unfortunate, but unfortunately it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I used to be in robotics engineering, my friend. I used to work for the Defense Department. Believe it or not, I worked in the Defense Department on top secret military projects once upon a time.
So what happened?
You know, it's funny. I've always been intuitive my whole life. I got hurt at work. I wound up in a hospital. I fell 10 feet off a ladder. Hernia in my back. I was feeling sorry for myself, because I heard a late-night radio show in Chicago, and this guy says, if we have any psychics, tell me what I lost, I'll give you tickets to see Genesis. I called him, I told him he didn't lose anything, he swallowed a temporary cap in his tooth, and he said, who is this? And I said, Joe, and he said, Joe, who? And I said, yeah, but the name was given to me before that, and he swore up and down, I knew him, he asked me to come down to the studio the next week, I was out of the hospital by then, because I was in their pain clinic thing. And then all of a sudden, it was like, something said, this is what you're supposed to do from always. And that was way back in 1984.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and that's a true story. Absolutely true. So, you know, here I have the ability. To me, it was no big deal. It was on both sides of my family. I thought, and when I was a little boy, my mom would always tell me, don't tell people. They'll make fun of us. They'll think we're weird, you know.
Yeah, back then it was a little bit different, too, anyway. It wasn't as opened, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, and so this is, and it was funny. In my high school, in my high school yearbook, what year did you graduate high school?
88.
You know when I graduated high school? 1967.
Yeah, so that's...
So that's a while ago. And they used to call me Joe the Medium. And my website, johu.com, the picture on there is about almost 2 years old. I do not have any gray hair. I don't dye my hair, and I don't wear a wig. You know, I don't know why. My dad passed away at 85. He had, I think, 10 gray hairs, you know.
Maybe that accident or something.
What?
Maybe that accident did something to you. Maybe it helped you.
Who knows? But anyway, but no, I mean, it was, I've always had that ability.
Yeah.
And it's been on both sides of my family. My mom, my mother's mother, my father's father's brother.
Yeah.
You know, and
you,
I have a
You know what? I also think that a lot of, whether it be psychic or certain people have certain, I don't know if you want to call them supernatural powers or whatever, I think it's built in their gene.
Well,
I don't
well,
I think they actually go on with it.
You know, I can tell you something. When I was a little boy, okay, when I was, this is a true story. If ever I get upset or cried, you know, my mother or my father never said, oh, stop crying and be a man. You know, they never said that to me. My mom or dad said, let it out, let it go, and then get, oh, you know, just don't worry about it. Just cry, and when you'll stop when you're done. I was never, my emotions were never inhibited. Never. Okay?
Okay.
Now, my mom and dad are from Italy. Okay?
Right.
They met each other here. They didn't know each other there. And my grandfather first came to World War I. He came to New York, and they said, welcome to America, Joe, and welcome to the Army. So my grandpa was infantry in World War I, and then after he got out of the Army, the government, he still had to wait 5 years before they would let him bring his family over. You see? So my mom was a teenager when she came here.
So you don't have no other family ties that have similar type of, you know, powers or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah, my mom has the ability.
Okay, that's why I'm saying that I think that might be genetic.
Well, I don't know if it's
your
genetic.
Genes, because that's what it seems like with psychics.
I think what's more genetic is the fact that your emotional side is the fact that you're an older soul. But see, younger souls have intuition too. I just think what, you know, I don't know. It's spiritual. I don't consider it genetic. I consider it spiritual.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is some people are inhibited. Remember, 90% of what you know, you're going to know, Joe, by the time you're 12, and you're going to know from your surroundings.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm sorry, not Joe. What's your first name?
Joe.
It is, okay. You'll know 90% of what you'll know as a human being, you know by the time you're 12. That's a truism. That's a fact. Okay? So a lot of it has to do with inhibitions. A lot of it has to do with, you know, you have the one side of you, and then you have the logical side of you, and when people say, oh, there's no such thing, there's no such thing, eventually you're going to believe it. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. I have to let you go, Joe.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. And of course it's not true. It's totally untrue. You know? Oh, you can't do that. Really?
Yeah.
Who says? You know? Who says? We're taking your calls tonight for the people in the USA, for our friends. It's 877-876-5227. And our friends in Canada, it is 888-810-8322. And our direct line is 530-876-3222. And I've heard some people say, well, EST is genetic. Nah, I don't think so. You know, I think that... you know, life force within you, the spiritual being that you are, whether you regardless, you know, if you believe in that or not, trust me, you're part of a spirituality. You know, what do you think? Well, some people believe, well, when you die, that's it, there's nothing. Really? Then you look in Europe or anywhere there's an antique or something that's 500 years old, why would that outlive a human spirit? It doesn't. It absolutely does not. So, and there's been a lot of case history, a lot of studies done on it, a lot of interesting photographs. There was a lady, I can't think of the name of the university right now, the name escapes me, now I feel stupid. But anyway, that they wanted to do an experiment on, they called it a soul experiment, and see, they got permission from the family, this poor lady had a terminal illness, and they put her on a scale. Now this study was done, I think in the late 60s or early 70s, and they put her on a scale that was so sensitive it could weigh a cigarette ash, okay? And they put her on the scale, she was about ready to pass, and around her they had infrared and ultraviolet cameras. That, you know, to just start clicking pictures. At the moment of her passing, when the lady passed, the cameras start taking all kinds of pictures. Two very fascinating things occurred. Number one, there was a loss of weight of 0.75 ounce. Now remember, the scale was designed to catch anything, you know, and that's even counting the weight of a last breath or anything like that. So she lost 0.75 ounce of weight they could not explain, number one. Number two, when it developed the film, they saw what appeared to be greenish, I think it was the ultraviolet, showed in rapid succession green haze going up and through the ceiling of the hospital. Now, if that's pure energy, that's an awful lot of energy. What does energy weigh? What does electricity weigh? What does energy weigh? You see? 0.75 ounce. Totally unaccountable. Can't do it. And like I said, they took every possible precaution. Then they do know that this person lost 0.75 ounce of weight. You know, that's quite a bit of weight. If you have no idea what it's from, and then the film development. So what were they seeing? You see? There's a lot of studies done. Of course, mainstream media doesn't tell you about these studies. You've got to find a little research on that. There's just remarkable things going on. And it's just a complex issue. You know, I mean, you look at, you know, you sit out at night, if you're lucky enough to live in a place where you don't have an awful lot of light pollution, and you see all these stars at night, and you look at them and know that those stars, and some have planets, and some have more than planets, and have all the billions and billions and billions of stars there are, you know, and planets, there's got to be. There's no way that we would be the only place with life. That's arrogant thinking. Is God wasteful? No. So why would he have a whole universe with life on just one place? You know, I think God had a lot of kids, and they went all over doing things. So it's a remarkable journey. It's remarkable what we're going through. And when we pass on, we cry. Well, we're crying for us, because they're fine. They're fine. Another thing, too, by the way, some of the New Agers, which I think is probably a dated term right now, the New Agers, they refuse to believe that there's more, you know, that there's no negative force. Absolutely, or the entire universe is made up of positive and negative forces. You know, it's also made up of good and evil. I mean, if you have free will, you have a free will to go whichever side you want to go. Me, myself, I'm a chicken. So there's no way of will. I want to go that way. In fact, last night I watched a movie. It was called A Haunting. And it was not the remake, but the original one. It was an English film. I mean, you'll never see one ghost, but it just scared the hell out of me. And I was a kid when I first saw it, and I saw it last night, and it still bothered me. But, you know, there's all kinds of things out there, and there are definitely negative issues and evil in the world. If you don't think so, look around. You know, I believe, and on all my years of doing this, I believe about maybe 3.5% of the people on the world are evil. Okay, not bad. There's a lot, you know, bad and good is a relative term. I mean evil. And that's still well over 200 million people. And I know there are places that can try and affect change. Don't you ever get the feeling sometimes that you're being led down a path you don't want to go, and you feel helpless, that you can't do anything? Well, that's not true. That's not true. But things keep us scattered, so people can't come together. And I've been trying to fight that for years. I've been trying to bring people together. And it's very difficult to do, because there are forces keeping people scattered. When people are kept scattered, you know, things can happen around them, and when they realize it, it's too late. You know? I don't care if it's where you work. I don't care if it's politics. I don't care if it's the country, the globe, the world, the neighborhood, the town. You know? The one common thing that we have, 97% of us has, is that we're basically good people trying to get through life with a pretty much decent way of doing it. You know? And we care, most of us care about our neighbors and our friends. So if we have that, then why can't we come together? What's stopping us? Think about that. There's a movie I always recommend. I would love to have you watch this movie. It's called They Live. Okay? It stars, remember that wrestler Rowdy Roddy Piper? Don't worry about that. The movie is called They Live. It's the premise I want you to look at. It's the premise I want you to observe. I've been telling people for years about this movie. It might wake you up to something. Okay? You know, we're supposed to be a democracy. We're supposed to be a free people. You know, but they're installing cameras. They're installing this. They're installing that. You know, that's why. Why? Oh, to make sure everybody stays in the right, in the short and narrow. Well, you know, if you're left your own devices, you will. If you're treated fairly, you will. Unfortunately, there are outside influences. And those are what I'm really concerned about. Those I find to be very heinous. You know, because both of us are part of the same family. Hi, caller, you're with Joe.
Joe, this is Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
From your neighborhood.
How are you doing? The month of your birth?
October.
And where are you calling from?
Yorkville.
Okay. What can I do for you, Charlie?
The question I have, and that doesn't have anything to do with me, but... I hear you make the distinction between visualizing something and imagining it, and I'm
right.
Not sure I quite understand.
Okay. When you visualize something, all right, you're kind of drawing a mental picture. You're visualizing it in your mind's eye. You know, imagination is, how can I, okay, here's the best example I can give you. If you close your eyes, Charlie, okay, and you can, boy. Imagine a big hot dog in the sky.
Okay.
Okay? All right, now, try to visualize a hot dog in the sky. Can you do that?
Um. I'm not sure I quite get the distinction between.
Okay, when you imagine something, it doesn't mean you're drawing an actual picture of it. It's just something that's in memory.
Okay.
Okay, when you visualize it, you actually can actually see it in your, like, you know, in your mind's eye. You can actually see it.
Okay.
Okay, that's visualization. I'll give an example of a man. All right, here's another thing. All right, remember I told you about picturing that hot dog in the sky?
Right.
All right, now, picture, I want you to visualize your bedroom when you're a little boy.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
And notice how one has a little feeling of reality to it?
Right.
Well, that's how also, you know, premonitions are, the same type of thing. Visualization, I can close my eyes and I can imagine a hot dog. I can close my eyes and I can actually, you know, in my mind's eye, I can actually see it, visualize it, draw it. And you're an artist, aren't you, Charlie? You can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. Imagination is imagining one. Visualizing it is taking that imagination and making a visual picture inside your mind's eye that you can actually see.
So it's really sort of the next step beyond imagination.
Right. It has more depth to it. It also has more power.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you know how sometimes you close your eyes, and if you look at your eyelids, you know, they're like little screens?
Right.
Okay, and that's kind of like what I'm saying. You're visualizing it, in, you know, in your mind's eye. You're actually visualizing. You can actually see it.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Charlie's an artist, I know that. And he does remarkable artwork. And he does a lot of Americana artwork. It's kind of unique, his style, too. Anyway, I have a website that people can visit, and it's www.johu.com. Okay, it's very easy. Johu is all one word, J-O-E-W-H-O.com. Okay, if you'd like to set up an appointment with me, you can call my office, and that phone number is area code 815-498-9065. And I offer 30-minute or 60-minute sessions. You can go to my website, and actually I think it's on BBS site too, a little bit of my background and some of the testimonials. I've been around in Chicago and worldwide since about 1984. I've had the ability my whole life. And like I said, everybody has it. Some people are more in tune than others. You know, and it's, boy, it's kind of a tough one to say. Everybody's good at something, you know. Some people are really good at it. I can't draw a straight line. I mean, you know, when I watch an artist draw, I'm just so mesmerized at the ability, the remarkable ability. And believe me, when an artist draws like that, they're putting their feeling, they're putting their spirit in what they're drawing, their artwork. I could never do that. I mean, no matter how, I would just get frustrated. My brother was an artist, you know, and believe it or not, I used to sing professionally. You know, I couldn't draw a straight line, and my brother couldn't carry a tune. You know, but he had his own expertise, and it was remarkable. He specialized in portraits, which I guess is very hard. You know, I also loved to cook. My poor brother would burn Jell-O, you know. So everybody's got something they're good at. Now, could my brother, if he really had the desire, be a better cook? Yes. Could I have the desire to be an artist? No. I mean, it just doesn't work. My brain isn't wired to do that. You know, and that's why I do believe that people have those abilities, brought them forward from other lives. You know, what's his name? Was it Mozart? I think it was Mozart. You know, his first symphony was written at 6 years old in his head. He had no mistakes on paper. So where is he accessing? What is he accessing? You know, I mean, just think of that. I mean, think of the complexities of writing a symphony. Anybody knows anything about music, you know, you see all these different, you know, there's writing for the violins, writing for the oboes, writing for the flutes, writing for the, you know, the percussion, and putting that all together. God, that to me is unbelievable. And by the way, I have a degree in music. I mean, I have a degree in, I studied voice. You know, but there's no way I could do that. Okay, so everybody has abilities. You know, everybody's got something they're good at. Everybody does. You just need to find it. You just need to look inside. Like I said, turn down the volume of the outside world and turn up the volume of the inside world. There's things about you you don't even know. You don't even know. And there's so much there. There's so much wonderful things. You're wonderful people. You're loving people. You know, we all basically want the same things. But why are we being diverted? Why are our tempers getting shorter? What's the frustration? We're going to talk more about that next week. All of you who called in tonight, I thank you so very, very much for calling in. It was a great, great honor for me to speak with you. And I do want to thank BBS Radio for giving me this opportunity to speak with you. You know, and it's great. Again, my website is johu.com. It's www.johu, J-O-E-W-H-O, it's all one word, .com. Remember, we're all part of the same family. We need to come together. I love you guys very, very much. If I didn't, I wouldn't be doing this. You know, I mean, I could talk about some case histories I've done in the past, but you know, that's boring to me, unless you guys want to hear it. And if there's something you want to talk to me about, ask me. Because I can pretty much find out anything. All right, my friends. Take care. Be well. I love you. Bye-bye.